Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Nice new week, first week of the new year, yay! And apparently it's going to be a very dangerous new year according to some and a very happy new year according to others. I'm not sure which I believe at the moment. Because, basically, I don't really care. I'm just going to have as much freaking fun as I can at the New World Order's expense. And that's my New Year's resolution in a nutshell, which is exactly what I've been doing the whole freaking time anyway. Oh, yes. Now, I was just redesigning the VinnieEastwoodShow.com website and putting in a little Facebook-like thingy, you know, apparently, which I've never been able to do for ages. And conveniently enough, you can join the conversation while we're live on the show. If you go to Facebook and search the Vinnie Eastwood Show, we've got a Facebook group there, and I've popped up a little post telling what's on with the show today, and we can comment the whole way through sort of thing, and I'll be monitoring it. So if you have questions for our guests or things of that nature, as we do have sent to me already, you can indeed participate, because I think, you know, it's probably a good idea to have some description of interaction capability. Those of you, of course, driving home in your cars, I wouldn't recommend doing it because you'll probably get pulled over and fined by ridiculously thug-like cops. the police states of America. Now, speaking of police states of America, anybody see the YouTube videos of these little mobile watchtowers that they got going up in malls and things like that, parking lots? Have you seen this, Will?
Yeah, I've heard about this, Vinny. It's highly disturbing.
Mobile guard towers. Who ever thought of such a thing? And, of course, the first thing that you think of when you think mobile guard tower is, hey, let's surveil shoppers with them, because obviously they're the most frickin' dangerous terrorists out, aren't they? This is actually more of a psyop to get people used to seeing guard towers everywhere, apparently.
It's just part of the militarization. It's just getting us all conditioned into accepting FEMA-style labor camps. And, you know, using LRAD sound weapons on the population since, what, 2001, 2002? And protests is another great example of that.
Oh, yeah. Protesting is a very, very bad thing because it means that you're actually trying to get your voice out there when the mainstream media is owned by the whole delicious scumbag banker scum. Don't want you to. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we want to hear your views. Give us a ring. 402-237-2525. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton. It's kind of an interesting thing going global because you wind up realizing that, hey, the same things that are happening in your country are happening in his country and his and hers and whatnot, and they're happening all over the freaking place. Indeed. We have a guest on the line here who's going to elaborate somewhat on those lines. His name is Michael Murphy. You may remember him from a recent documentary called What in the World Are They Spraying, which I thought was pretty freaking awesome. And I'm delighted to have him on our show. Michael, are you there, mate? Mr. Murphy, come in.
Michael. It appears we're having a technical difficulty, ladies and gentlemen. You'll have to listen to more and more of me and Vinny ranting, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah. The
Michael, one last try.
I don't know. Maybe he got switched off by the music.
Hello?
There we are, Michael.
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
Oh, yes, we can.
Fantastic. I can hear you as well. I checked the mute button on my phone and it was off, but how are you? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, mate, it's such a pleasure having you on, and I feel much better that you are. And, you know, you've kind of been doing a lot of work out there, and what I found particularly fun about the documentary was how you went into Congress and tried to, you know, encounter these people and sort of talk to them about geoengineering and, you know, much in a repeated ceremony that is happening on this side of the world as well as yours, they just ignore you.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what happens when you go to the bowels of Congress and the... in the district of criminality, as we like to call it. And, yeah, it was very, very interesting. It seems like the politicians who have addressed the issue of current deployment of aerosol spraying, chemtrails, geoengineering, have had a lot of resistance. Dennis Kucinich, obviously, is one. We covered that in the documentary when he wrote chemtrails, actually, in his 2001 Space Preservation Act, and he actually called for a banning of chemtrails. However, that part of the bill was removed before it went to the vote, and it was later voted down. So, yeah, it seems like it's a taboo topic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's funny that it gets removed from the bill and then voted down rather than voted down in the first place. So that kind of thing, it just, the whole thing just stinks to high heaven. You know, we've had people on this show a couple of times from different groups talking about chemtrails. And it seems that it used to be a very low brow sort of topic, you know, like nobody knew about it. Very few people were discussing it. But of late, chemtrails are coming into the forefront of public debate, particularly in the truther movement and alternative media. How can you account for this?
Well, you're absolutely correct. And I got active about a year ago when we started filming the What in the World Are They Spraying? And since that time, we've seen an incredible awakening. And I really think part of it is because geoengineers now are coming out speaking about publicly about these programs. However, while they state that they urgently want to spray aerosol aluminum and other particles into the sky, they blatantly deny that it's going on. However, there's a mountain of evidence of the fallout.
In some cases, literally.
Yeah, literally. People are getting sick, and we've seen profound changes. So I think right now we see geoengineers trying to sell these programs to the unsuspecting public at large, and I think that they essentially gave it a bunch of credibility. Now, you know, 10 years ago, a lot of activists stated that they, you know, they were called kooks, they were called crazy. The tides have definitely turned. Everywhere I go now, people are beginning to wake up and notice the crisscrossing patterns in the sky and that the skies are changing. So it's fantastic for the movement. I have great hope for humanity in waking up to these crimes, and it's just amazing. So I think, you know, it's not only the work that we've done, it's the work of the activists who have been working tirelessly for the past 10 years, and everything is now sort of coming to light.
It's almost like this big elephant is awakening and threatening to trample over all the propaganda, which I like to see in general. One thing that does concern me, though, is the political apathy. And you played a clip on your documentary of the New Zealand House of Parliament chatting about chemtrails, or rather laughing about them, and just kind of being very, very, well, devious and whatnot, and just pathetic scum. And this is not an isolated incident, I would say, at all, by any measure. In fact, we had an activist here, Will Ryan, down in the South Island, where Nick Smith, our current Environment Minister and Climate Change Minister, resides. And he tried to talk to him about the chemtrails, and he pointed up at the sky, and he says, "Look, this plane's laying one right now." And there was a couple of other chemtrails and one or two other planes in the air which weren't laying chemtrails at all. And he says, "Ah, no, those are just contrails."
Yes, and until it's raining, and then we test that rain and find massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. But yeah, that seems to be their excuse for what we're beginning to see in the major changes within our sky. And, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And people are beginning to wake up. They're saying, wait a minute, contrails didn't last for several hours on a regular basis like they do today, and, you know, we didn't have respiratory mortality go from number 8 on the list of mortality down to number 3 in the past 5 years, and the aluminum-related illnesses are going through the roof. So, again, we've seen profound changes, and people are beginning to question that, and it gives me a lot of hope, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, and it frickin' should. It's like we have to kind of look at where we are currently in order to get our inspiration. You know, I don't look to the future for my inspiration, and I certainly don't look to the past, because it's all it's all a big swath of terrible, horrible things, right? But today, man, we are on some real pivotal ground here with chemtrails, and virtually every other segment of the truth movement is in a rapid expansion mode. And you know, your documentary, I mean, it's experienced a little bit of success. I'm not 100% sure. Would you mind explaining to me how much of an impact and what your kind of journey is? How did you wake up to chemtrails?
Well, I can first talk about the impact with what in the world are they spraying, and it has been estimated that in the first month of it coming out, which was in October, that it had 1 million views. Today it's growing exponentially as my emails and phone calls are growing exponentially. So we can probably estimate that it's had over 3 or 4 million views, not only on the Internet, but we've sold a number of copies as well. Some of that is we're encouraging everybody who purchases a copy at my website to go ahead and make duplicate copies and hand them out for free. Just in support of our vision of making this issue known to all of it. So the film has had a tremendous amount of success, and a lot of people are distributing it. How I woke up to chemtrails was I'm a little embarrassed, because a number of years went by when I really didn't make the connection. I knew that the skies had been changing, and actually somebody had told me that airplanes were spraying chemicals into the sky to make artificial clouds. And like most people, I thought the person was totally crazy, and I ignored him. But it wasn't until another person had actually pointed out the airplane spray, and I got curious, and I started researching it, and that was just a couple of short years ago. During that time, about a year ago, I made a video out on Hollywood Boulevard, and they were spraying. Of course, they do here about 5 days a week here in L.A., and I had just walked around asking people if they were aware of what was happening. And not much to my surprise, about 90% of the people had no idea of the issue of chemtrails. So that video was a tremendous success. And it wasn't until I had actually written an article after going to the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, which was in San Diego. And at that meeting, geoengineers came out and were actually speaking publicly about their plans to spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into the sky for what they said was the stated goal of cooling the planet. Of course, they blatantly denied that these programs were going on, and I got really concerned with what I had heard. So I wrote an article called What in the World Are They Spraying? That's where the name came. And at night, I sent the article to an online publication. I think it was Countercurrents. And I put my phone number and my email address at the end of the article. And when I woke up the next morning, my inbox was flooded. My phone was ringing off the hook. And the reason for it was I had broken the story on the use of aluminum in geoengineering models. And, of course, aluminum has been found in massive quantities, very toxic levels around the world where the spraying is occurring. So people literally started sending me plane tickets asking me to come out and investigate. So I hooked up with G. Edward Griffin, and we actually helped us do a funding drive. We met our funding goals in about, a day and a half. I think we set a record for documentary funding, and we're able to fund the whole project and actually do quite a bit more than we had initially planned. So it was very much of a success, not something I had even planned on doing. However, I call it divine intervention and divine guidance. So just very humble and grateful to have been a part of such a groundbreaking documentary.
Well, it's we're really proud here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show to be having you on because of the fact that, hey, it's really, really coming to prominence now. And as far as I'm concerned, as soon as any member of the truth movement, I don't give an F what your issue is. All right, if you're speaking the truth and you're getting it out there and you're being somewhat successful or anything like that, and the money is not the main motivating factor for you, heck, you know, let's promote the living heck out of it, because that's the only thing that can really be done. Because it's important in this day and age when we have, you know, heat behind issues to capitalize on it, so to speak, and get the messages out while the strike the iron is hot, so to speak. Now, we had a question from one of our listeners. Have you heard of a disappearing chemtrail? A couple of eyewitnesses in New Zealand said they saw a plane flying, and it had a black and grey beam sort of thing that was coming from the nose of the plane all the way behind it. And as it was laying down a chemtrail, it looked as though it was being eaten away, and there was some kind of a grey mottled film over a small area of the sky between the tail of the plane and the chemtrail that remained. And as the grey area expanded and expanded, the chemtrail went away. Have you heard of anything like this?
Well, I have seen black beams in the sky, and I do not know what they are. You know, I believe it's some type of technology, but, you know, again, I'm not aware. And I have seen some strange things, but no, I'm not too. I can't really speak on that because I'm not sure if I got a thorough picture exactly of what the person was had seen. But yes, I have seen many different types of chemtrails, some that linger for hours, other that appear to be dissipating more quickly than others. And I think it depends on what mix. I don't think they're only spraying aluminum. We believe aluminum, barium, and strontium. You know, I know Clifford Carnicom's done a lot of research and has uncovered biologicals and other very harmful substances that they're spraying up there as well. So, I'm not sure. I haven't seen everything, and I'm still very curious, and I still have a lot to learn about the issue.
Now, secondly, I mean, what's next for you in your kind of newfound truth of media activist career?
Well, we have G. Edward Griffin and I have started a coalition against geoengineering. So I've been working tirelessly to build that website and really make it a core center for activism with new activism ideas each month, and also to be a place of information and updates and, you know, a place where activists can go and report what they've learned on it. So I'm busy with that. And again, when we started this film, I had two goals in mind, and it was interesting because I literally started this film with very little money in the bank, a borrowed camera, and I didn't know really even how to push play on the button. And you know, turned out to be a very professional and very good quality film. But with that being said, what's next? Well, the goals, again, for the film were to A, prove that they are spraying, and B, that these programs are a threat to both human health and ecology. And I think that we conclusively did that. However, questions come in every day about these programs, and there's a lot more questions that need to be answered. So I'm definitely open to doing another film about this and looking perhaps more deeply into the weather modification aspect of these programs. We believe that they're linked into the HART program, which requires fine metal particulates, sort of a plasma sky, to emit its energy through. The HART program can heat up the ionosphere, alter jet streams, and barium, of course, is a desiccant, so it has the ability to control and move storms. And a lot of people are scratching their heads going, why is the weather so weird lately? Why are we having tremendous floods in certain areas and tremendous droughts in other areas? And I think the answer to that question is geoengineering. As David Keith, who's the number three geoengineer, stated a couple weeks ago, he said geoengineering gives man godlike powers. So, and the U.S. military has an express goal of owning the weather by 2025. That document can be found on the internet. So it's pretty scary stuff.
Well, it does seem pretty obvious that the weather is acting up in very, very strange ways, and we have the climate change movement trying to capitalize on it as if carbon taxes are going to save us. You're listening to Michael Murphy on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back momentarily.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam. Admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, our very special guest in fact, what is your website there, Mr. Michael Murphy?
Well, I have a blog, which is truthmediaproductions.blogspot.com, and I also have the Coalition Against Geoengineering.org. And we also have, for purchase of the film, and again, we encourage everybody who purchases a copy to make free copies and hand them out for free to the public, and that can be ordered at realityzone.com.
All right. Oh, now, how can people get involved? I mean, other than getting the truth out by sharing your documentary, are people volunteering to help you out, building your websites, funding, and things of that nature?
Well, I am looking for somebody with web design right now, so I'm glad that you asked that. And if anybody would like to volunteer for web design, we certainly could use that help. And again, just go to the Coalition website and shoot me an email, because we definitely need it. But a lot of people have been offering, and we have people around the world who have been doing screenings of what in the world are they spraying. So that has been a tremendous success. We have screenings just about, wow, several weeks that have been occurring that I'm aware of. And, you know, it's exciting to finally see the truth come out about this issue.
And, of course, we've had a lot of chemtrail activism here in New Zealand. Like, for example, our guest on our show, Claire Swinney, has broken a lot of news about different things happening here. And the interesting thing about chemtrails is that it's very complex, right? There's a lot of different elements in the equation here. Principally, the scariest thing for me is the contamination of the soil. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I could talk about when we filmed in Northern California and then also Hawaii. And I'll take you back about 7 to 8 years in Northern California in the Shasta County area, where they started seeing a mass die-off of the forest and things that were growing. And the scientists, many scientists around there, started doing pH tests on the soil. And what they found was that the soil pH was increasing anywhere between 12, as high as 18 times the normal alkalinity of the pH of the soil. So they scientifically started scratching their head and said, hey, let's start doing further tests and see what's happening. And what they had found in the rain and snow were massive amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Aluminum oxide, and that's what geoengineers are proposing spraying, will change the soil from acidic to basic. And anybody who has basic science knows that anything that requires an acidic soil will die if a soil turns basic. That's exactly what they're seeing. So it's extremely high levels of aluminum. For instance, a test on Mount Shasta revealed 61,100 parts per billion of aluminum. There should be no aluminum in that snow. 8 years ago, there was 7 parts per billion, which is already a high test. They've seen it increase several thousand percentage points and continue to see those massive amounts today. So it literally, these programs devastate ecosystems. And one of the reasons could be this. When we traveled out to Hawaii, as you saw in the film, it was a beautiful place that we stayed. We stayed on an organic farm, and the group out there grows all of their own food. And it was a real beautiful place to live. However, Maui, where we stayed, is getting sprayed quite a bit. I just got back from an incredible week last week, and they were really spraying the heck out of us. But anyways, they have began to see a decline in anything that's natural and organic that they're growing, as have many other farmers. Now, the concern is this. We know that these programs toxify the soil, and we know that aluminum is very toxic to plant life. So things that are natural and organic are beginning to see a decline, and many people are concerned that this could be, in part, an agenda by the GMO seed manufacturers to literally kill off anything that's natural and organic so that everyone will be dependent on the new aluminum-resistant GMO seed, which was developed in 2009 at Cornell University. So the concern really is about freedom. And the people in Hawaii live a very free life. They grow their own food. They're not dependent on stores or corporations in any way. However, their freedom, it appears it could be in jeopardy, and we'll see in a couple of years. But they're concerned that they will not be able to grow their own food and that they will have to get seeds from GMO manufacturers. And the question that I have are, what will the requirements for them to live? What will those requirements be? And that's the end of freedom as we know it. It literally is. It's total control over the food supply. And we know that this corporate governmental system, I call it the beast, wants not only to control the weather, but they also want to control the total food source. They want to control everything that at one time was natural and organic. So it's deeply concerning to many of us. And the GMO seeds connection is a big concern for many people.
Well, absolutely, as it should be. And Monsanto, for those of you who don't know, they're the ones that said that Roundup was biodegradable and fully good for you.
Yes.
And also, Monsanto, the fabulous fellas, have now bought Blackwater, which was renamed Z because of the bad reputation for killing people ruthlessly in Iraq that Blackwater has. So now they're going to start doing that to you.
Well, I couldn't think of a better partnership and more nice people. And of course, Vinny, you know, for my health, I've been spraying Roundup on my lettuce and cereal in the morning before I eat it. And, you know, Monsanto's claims about it being very healthy is true because I don't get sick anymore. So, of course, I'm joking about that. I would not suggest. I want to make that disclaimer. I would not suggest that anybody put Roundup on any of their food or any other chemical for that matter. But yeah, there appears that now we have two. We know that some of those companies were kind of the big bullies on the block at the time, and it appears that they formed an alliance, which is concerning as well. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think it's just important for people like you and I to continue speaking the truth, enlightening people about what's going on. And I think that we're in that season, you know, the season of of the masses sleeping through all this and not noticing is really coming to an end. Of course, we have some people who have their heads still stuck in the sand, but that's beginning to change.
Well, in terms of getting the aluminium perhaps out of the soil post-contamination, we had a reply from one of our listeners who said that, electrokinetic soil remediation using novel electrodes and modulated reverse electric fields is one of the only ways to get metal contamination out of the soil. Have you heard of electrokinetic soil remediation? Michael, are you there?
I am here, yes. Yeah, I'm here, Vinny. Sounds like we're having more technical difficulties. I have not heard of that, and, you know, it's a shame that we even have to start talking about that. Knowing that people are deliberately toxifying and destroying the soil, you know, the very Mother Earth that has provided so much for thousands upon thousands of years for the people and its inhabitants, and it's deeply grieving to know that that is coming to an end right now because a certain group of individuals want to control the masses. You know, it really comes down to control. And, you know, I can't tell you how upset I am that the further I dig into this and the more I get in touch with the natural environment as it should be, I get livid. It's very concerning. However, I take that energy to the streets where I educate people about this issue. And I don't have hope in the corporations, and I do not have hope in these people who call themselves the elite that have a depopulation agenda and they want to control. I have no hope in them, but I do have hope for humanity. I do have hope for each and every individual waking up to this and actually taking a stand. We're now beginning to see people standing up. And what's amazing, Vinny, is, you know, they would not be able to spray us every day if everybody stood up and said no. They would not be able to take away our rights if everybody stood up and said no. And I think we're just at the beginning of that. So I have tremendous hope for my fellow human beings and for the spiritual side of things, for things changing. So I think these people who call themselves the elite, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Bill Gates, by the way, who is a heavy funder involved in geoengineering, I think these people's time is very short. And I'm going to quote the Bible in the book of Revelation, said the devil will get very active in the end times because he knows that his time is short. Well, these guys, their heyday is almost over, you know, and now it's going to be a time for people who believe in this new paradigm in truth, justice, natural living, you know. So it's a very exciting time to be alive as well. I know I kind of went off... tangent, Vinny, but
we
I'm
always do, Michael. These subjects tend to stray into larger issues, don't they? And I mean, can you answer this question from your perspective? This is something we talk about quite a lot. You know, is it that this resistance is for everyone, or do you think just a handful of people are ever going to be aware of this entire New World Order system and be able to resist against it? Do you think it's everyone's cup of tea? I mean, I wish it were. I think it is because it seems to affect everyone, but. A lot of people say to me, hey, they're just not going to wake up. You've got to forget about them.
Well, you know, and that's the biggest lie, and that's why these people have done so much to us, because of that deception. And that reminds me, I was down in Venice Beach about a month and a half ago, and they were spraying, and there was a young lady next to me, and I said, hey, you know what that is up in the sky? She said, yeah, that's a chemtrail. And I said, do you want to learn more about it? And she said, no. And I said, can I ask why? And she said, well, I can't do anything about it. And I left it at that, but it really got me thinking, that's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. We can do something about it. And like I said before, if each and every person stood up and said no, they would not be able to do it. However, one of their techniques is to deem us powerless and to deem us so that we believe that we can't do anything about it. And the human spirit is so powerful. Truth is the most powerful thing that we have on the universe. And if we only exercise it, and that's all that it takes. So, you know, my call is to get people activated, not to go out and do violent acts. I would never, you know, condone that. However, to stand up, start speaking truth, and be firm and say no.
One thing I've noticed, though, Michael, one thing I've noticed amongst all the truthers I've met so far is that regardless of our disagreements, if Jesuits run everything or the Masons or the Catholics or whoever, one thing I've noticed is that they're very intelligent people in general. Truthers are, I would have to say, without sounding elitist here, above average intelligence. They're not obsessed with the facile pop culture media. And so, you know, how is it that, and it takes, you know, I just think of myself as an average person. I get these people telling me I'm smart, but it takes my whole brain just to try and understand what's going on here. It takes my entire faculty just to try and understand a few elements, and I haven't even looked into chemtrails with that great a depth, but understanding the history of false flag terrorism, understanding what's going on with our food and water supplies, understanding the history of fluoridation, understanding it takes a lot of concentration. Do you think that the average person is even capable, the way they've been physically dumbed down and psychologically and socially, and I mean, do you think it's lost in that respect?
Well, I don't, and I can tell you why, because I was probably one of the more dumbed-down persons in society. So I do have hope for mankind. I had no interest in politics or anything that could affect me. I was interested in the pop culture and, of course, more interested in sports and other things that really had no apparent effect on my life. And That's what I was involved with. However, I did have a spiritual awakening to this, and it's I had a series of visions where I had this sort of revelation. Kind of denied it at first, but it sparked my curiosity, and then I started, of course, researching not only on the internet but looking into this and finding out what the truth was. So, if I could wake up and get active, I'm telling you, anybody can. And I know, you know, it certainly can be frustrating for many of us who have family members who would rather sit down and watch an afternoon of football than look into something that is not only affecting their health but their family's health.
Indeed, indeed. Our very special guest is Michael Murphy from, the Chemtrail Spray and Movie. And we will be right back after the break, because you can accomplish a heck of a lot more if you're awake, no matter how good your dreams are. And welcome back to the Zinni Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Our very special guest is Michael Murphy from What in the World Are They Spraying? Michael, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back. I missed you, Vinny, during the show, during the commercial break.
I know, great. I know. Kind of become somewhat attached very quickly. Now... Yeah, we love to have a good laugh on the show. It is the lighter side of genocide, after all. I was thinking, Michael. You know, documentaries, and in terms of waking people up, documentaries are probably the most effective form. I mean, when I was a yuppie, for lack of a better word, I watched a shockingly large amount of documentaries, and they just woke me up like lickety split. It was all of a sudden the world made a little bit more sense, because people did a whole bunch of research and then put them together in about an hour and a half or something, so that I didn't have to go out and read ridiculous amounts of textbooks and do all these kind of things. Put them all in there where people can access the information freely in a digestible format. I mean, that's the key here.
You like infotainment.
Yeah, let's face it. Okay, I like infotainment. That's right. I'm a victim of the New World Order brainwashing techniques. To be sure. Which is why I produce my own brainwashing technique. It's called the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. where we have fabulous other, you know, disinfo agents like Michael Murphy on to spread rumor and terrorism and whatnot.
Now, I blatantly deny those accusations. I am an info agent, information agent.
You're an infamous threat, Michael.
I am an agent of truth, yes. Yeah, I do my best to get out the word.
Did they pat you down for aerosol canisters when you went through the TSA checkpoints, did they?
That's right. Yeah, actually, I spray out of my vehicle around town. It's very... you know, and I just say, hey, it's normal exhaust, and 90% of the people buy into it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was actually done in New York years ago. Actually, vehicles loaded with bioweapons, spraying them out the exhaust back in the 70s, didn't they?
They did. In New York, there was some biological testing, and it's, of course, we're joking around about it, but it was a very serious thing, and it does affect people in a very negative way, but... again, to take this on the lighter side, I think it's important to have fun while addressing these very serious issues. They are very serious. They're hurting people, but, you know, I think it is important to keep a good spirit when we address these issues, because it can get overwhelming at times. I mean, this stuff is not very pleasant. Death, destruction, controller, and loss of freedoms are not things that I wake up and pray for in the morning. So I think, you know, I appreciate you guys and the way that you address this and bring a sense of humor into it, because I think that's an important aspect to get the longevity in addressing issues like this that we need.
Well, thank you. Now, lastly, you've been working with G. Edward Griffin for a little bit, and it was interestingly enough, my stepmother just very recently told me that she's actually a reader of G. Edward Griffin's books, which I had no idea about. And, you know, he's brought such expertise and analysis into many, many aspects of the truth movement. And, you know, it came as a surprise to me that he started to come up with support for the chemtrail movement. And it speaks volumes as to the importance of chemtrails as a topic, because like many of the so-called New World Order agendas, this is one of the most dangerous global terror threats, basically, as far as I'm concerned, that we've ever really faced. And its effects are wide-ranging, and if you are alive today, you've either seen one or are currently being poisoned by the after effects of them. And this is the reason why I believe G. Edward Griffin decided to support you, is because he understood the true ramifications of this global agenda.
Well, I think so as well, and we couldn't have been more thrilled to partner with him. And G. Edward Griffin actually came to me, and the man is absolutely an icon in the truth movement. He's done numerous works and given credibility, of course, to the creature from Jack Island. So I couldn't have been more thrilled. And again, I call this divinely ordered, and he was definitely a big part of that, and a big part of bringing this into the international scope that we have now. We have actually had it translated into about 7 or 8 different languages, so it's being seen around the world, and as a result, I think that we're seeing a mass awakening to this crime. And again, this is without a doubt a crime against nature and humanity. We are definitely under attack, and we're in a real crisis, and we need people to wake up, and I think that we're seeing that. So, yeah. Getting back to G. Edward Griffin, couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of him. He's a gentleman, a class act, and just very thorough. You know, he's taught me a lot within the project and continues to be a good friend and also a good mentor as well.
Mm-mm-mm. And as far as offcuts, what didn't make it into the documentary?
What didn't make it? Well, let me explain that we had 122 hours of footage into the document. And we shot that in about 5 months. We were literally, that documentary normally should have taken about two years to film. We completed from start to finish in about 7 months. We were working 7 days a week, some days 18 hours a day. I was getting very little sleep, but we knew that we had to get it out quick. So with that being said, I've got hard drives that just contain so much good stuff. And if anybody out there has made the documentary, we initially had it at about 3.5 hours of incredible stuff, and it was very painstaking cutting it down to the short, you know, version, which is now 97 minutes long. So a whole bunch didn't. And I think perhaps I'm going to use some of that footage and get some other things out.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's a great thing having a whole bunch of stock footage, isn't it, Michael? I'd like to thank you very much indeed for coming on the show today. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see that documentary. It's posted up online in many places at the moment, and preferably buy a copy, make copies, and then get it out to everybody. Michael, thanks for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome to our listeners worldwide. I had a look at the analytics for the VinnieEastwoodShow.com a couple of days ago, and there are people from something like 87 different countries that listen to this show. I was quite surprised by that. You know, big up to my listeners in Namibia. They appreciate a shout out. Now, speaking of shouting out, there's an awful lot of really, really terrible things going on, and so many people get wrapped up in this excuses and whinging and whining, and they forget to actually do anything. This is really frustrating, man, and seriously, it ticks me off a lot of times, because I know, having had the experience, that when you go out and do something, things happen, funnily enough. If you do nothing, nothing happens, strangely enough. Right? Activists like Michael Murphy and G. Edward Griffin are people who understand that if you get out there and you do something, things start happening. Okay? It's not rocket science. It's pretty straightforward. Just do something. Now, I had a conversation with one of the guests on our show a while back, Peter from Poppy and Peter Relating to Life.com. They had asked me, you know, what my advice was about, you know, getting involved with other people, other projects, or more to the point, wanting to get them involved with you. And I said, look, you can get involved anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. Okay, but if you expect people to say respect you or give you your due credit from being involved in their projects, don't expect it. Okay, because the only person who will ever truly appreciate you for what you're doing is you. Okay, you don't necessarily have to be involved with anybody else in order to accomplish a heck of a lot. Okay, because the only place that you can really, truly rely on to be there behind you 100% is yourself. It all lies within, okay? And if you can sap your own energy, by wanting to get involved with others and what they're doing and completely forget about yourself just because you want to feel that comfort of being a part of something, you'll never be satisfied. It's like shopping to make yourself eternally happy. You never can be because you'd always have to be involved with something else. The strength that we have as truthers is the strength that we have as truthers, not anybody else, but us. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
Yeah, and no one like me, yeah.
And welcome back to the show. A very special guest is Bob Stevens from ph10.co.nz. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. Nice to be invited to talk and nice to be able to talk to your listeners as well.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, water is basically essential for life, and the company that you've founded here, PH10, sells some ridiculously good, tasty water, which is also very high in alkalinity. Could you kind of explain, you know, how you came about this?
Well, it's the basis for life. You know, I believe that oxygen, water is first, oxygen, very important, and we've got to get back to basics, Vinny. So many people are drinking water, which is not doing them any good. In fact, is making them sick. This water is from 230 metres subterranean from our farm in Waimauku, which is northwest of Auckland, New Zealand. And our naturopath, Kirsten Taylor, well-respected, one of the best naturopaths in New Zealand probably, from Ponsonby, I can quote her in saying it's the best water on the planet. That's what she believes.
Well, that sounds like a very good
recommendation.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Best water on the planet. Okay. Yeah. How is that? I mean, what's the difference between this water and other water?
Well, it's running over sandstone and limestone, Vinny. Therefore, it's got a very high pH. Hence, we named it pH 10. Latest report, I've got the analysis here showing the minerals and the pH level at exactly 9.8, pH 9.8. Our body runs at 7.35 to 7.45 in our bloodstream, and it's important that you alkalize your body. You're born alkaline, and so many people die acidic in old folks' homes. And it's just a lack of water and a lack of good drinking water. With your tank water, it's a bit dicey because unless you change that filter cartridge very regularly, every 6 months, say, or 3 months is better, scrub that tank, empty it, and scrub it every year, then you're okay. With your tap water, I'd just like to read you a few of the bits and pieces that can be found in tap water shortly, and I'm not saying it's in all tap water, but certainly in some tap water. Overseas, of course, there's recycled sewage. I don't think we're doing that yet here in New Zealand, but there's all sorts of things get into the tap water, and I'll find that shortly and read it to you. So we think it's the best alternative. It's safe water. It hasn't got the chlorine, hasn't got the fluoride in it that you'll find in tap water. It hasn't got the animal excretia and bird excretia that you find in tank water. So it's just really, really healthy for you. It will actually re-alkalize your body. One of my clients, it took him 2 or 3 months, and he was able to drink about a gallon a day. Just take medical advice. If your ankles swell, you're drinking too much, but some people can drink up to a gallon a day to re-alkalize their body. You can test your pH level with the strips. I just gave you a couple of little litmus paper strips you can get from your health shop, and test your saliva and just make sure that you've had nothing to eat or drink for a couple of hours, and test your saliva and just it'll give you an idea. You should be around the 7, around the neutral, because the scale is 0 to 14, as most people know, with 7 being neutral in the middle. So 9.8 is very, very high. And as a matter of fact, I just checked it out, and the Miracle Water of Lourdes in France, for instance, is pH 9.5. Now, pH 10, my product, is pH 9.8. I think it's a real miracle. It's a blessing that we've got this water.
Now, you know, water is absolutely essential for life. And we had a guest on the show named Lauren Lockman has been doing, what do you call, fasting, you know, where you basically drink nothing but water. And what he found is that despite the body's need to be about 70% water, he found that a lot of people coming in to do fasting were coming in with only about 50% water.
Oh, that'd be right. Here's a statistic that bears repeating, that 70% of people are walking around permanently, seriously dehydrated at any given time. So 70% of you, are you one of the seven? 70% out of 10. Walking around permanently, seriously dehydrated. We seem to have lost that impetus for thirst, Finny. You know, that's what it is, I think. That's all I can put it down to. The water itself is odorless, colourless and tasteless, unless you've got a bit of a connoisseur taste for it when you're comparing water in the business like myself. But there's so many other drinks out there, I suppose, that are tasty and they've got this and that and caffeine and all sorts of stuff and in it that you don't need. Get back to basics. Drink more water. You should be drinking, and here's the way of working it out, 30 mil per kg of body weight sipped throughout the day. So in other words, don't get to the end of the day and you're a litre down, don't scull it. You know, I think just sip it through the day, sip it at night, have a glass of water by the bedside. But 30 mil of excellent drinking water per kg of body weight is a good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're dehydrated, of course, people stop being able to have the ability to process things properly in their brains, and they often get a lot of health disabilities and things of this nature, including increasing the signs of aging itself. And obviously, your water is a lot more advanced, as far as I'm concerned, towards a lot of others. But what are the health benefits? Because most people are really unaware of the direct health benefits of just drinking good water.
Well, that's right, Vinny. It's so basic that we think, hey, it can't be right, but it is right. Try it. Try it even if you do a three-month trial. Just try increasing your water intake. You'll find you'll be feeling better. Now, a lot of the symptoms of dehydration are the basic ones, such as a dry cough, pins and needles. We've all had pins and needles in the extremities of the fingers or the feet. And those sorts of things, and lots of incidentals can be cured and or alleviated to some extent just by increasing your intake of water. These are all signs of dehydration. A book I must recommend, and don't ask me to spell this gentleman's name, but Your Body's Many Cries for Water. I think it's Dr. F. Batman Benji. Batman is the first part of his name, and something like Benji after that. But Your Body's Many Cries for Water is such a good book. This gentleman was the prison doctor. I think it was in Iran with the new regime there. They put him in prison, and as he had all these medical centres, and they took over his medical centres. Now, he was the camp doctor, and they had plenty of good drinking water, but not much food, you know. But he found that all the inmates, in drinking more than they had been, suddenly the asthma cleared up. Suddenly the coughing stopped, and all the ills and chills just faded away, simply because they were drinking their share of water. And I mean, the average person might be that's 30 mil per kg of body weight, might equate to, in my case, you know, it's 2.5 liters a day, so it's quite attainable.
Well, the thing is, with water, a lot of people just really don't understand the actual importance of drinking it. And with the, well, literal plethora, I think, of bottled water products and all of this other sugary drinks and that sort of nature, aren't they actually inherently, for the most part, all these flavoured whatsoever beverages that we've got these days, they're inherently dehydrating in themselves. So, interestingly enough, the thing that's advertised that people do to quench their thirst actually dehydrates them.
Well, especially if you're talking a beer on a hot day, Vinny, or any of your diuretics, your tea, coffee, alcohol, beer, wine, etc. Those diuretics are not counted, I should have pointed out, in that 2.5 litres a day that you should be drinking, depending on your body weight. So the diuretics, you're right, they don't count, go straight through you. If I could just mention here, you're going to balance your body pH if you drink the pH 10 or a very high alkaline water. You can get a similar effect by putting a teaspoon of baking soda in each glass of water you drink. That will increase the pH, but it's not quite as good as this natural one that I've got in bottles. If you're in Auckland, do look us up on or call us, pH 10, 0800 pH 10 10, which is 0800 74 10 10. We'll have a look at our website, as Vinnie mentioned, www.ph10.co.nz. But we're talking about the, being 70% water. That's an average. You know, a fetus might be 95%. An old person in an old folks' home who's maybe got Alzheimer's forgets to drink. Nurses don't prompt them. Might be 50% water. So you've really got to get up to that 70% water and drink your share. The pH 10 helps balance the body pH, obviously rehydrate you. As I mentioned, 70% of people are walking around dehydrated. And this is one of the planet's best waters, if not the best. No chlorine or fluoride, unlike tap water. No giardia or animal excretia like a lot of tank water has. And, of course, you can get the often fatal Legionnaire's disease and other nasty diseases if you're drinking tank water or in some places tap water that hasn't been treated well. I mean, we have little cities here in councils in New Zealand where the water's not that great. Helensville springs to mind. It comes out of the tap looking like iced tea. You know, it's just not great at all. You have to be drinking bottled water in these areas. Our water's high in oxygen and rich in minerals, unlike distilled waters and RO waters. I can just take a moment to tell you about distilled waters and reverse osmosis, or RO waters. These are the waters that many other water companies deliver in, say, the 15-litre water bottles, go on top of the cooler. And both processes filter the water down or distill the water, so you end up with pure molecules of H2O. You don't want to be drinking that, I don't think, because it's got no minerals left in it. What you're going to do in this case is leach and excrete the minerals that you already have in your body, so it's not a great water. RO and distilled, not great at all. You've got to go for something like pH 10, which is natural, flowing over the sandstone, limestone, with all the minerals in it.
Now, one thing that I wanted to ask you about was about general water quality. I mean, how is our drinking water in this day and age, that coming into a municipal water supply, I mean, just say here in Auckland, I mean, what kind of contaminants and things of that nature can we really expect from our so-called treated water?
Oh, well, you're going to be a bit surprised. Have a seat if you're not sitting down. I'll mention a few. What can be found in tap water: recycled sewage, silt, slime, sludge, algae, rust, mold, dirt, rotting vegetation, corroded pipe linings. And I'm still going. There's about 22 that I've got here. Now, that's under visible matter. Now, living organisms, bacteria, parasites, giardia, was the one I was wondering about earlier, the giardia you can get from the tank water, viruses, fungi, cryptosporidium. And then we've got smelly organic matter, chlorine, chloramide, pesticides, ammonia, chloroform, and herbicides. I think we were talking a little bit earlier, Vinnie, about the fact that estrogen and all other sorts of pills are getting into the water supply, and it's having a bad effect on, they say this might be the earlier onset of puberty and happening in the girls, etc., feminization of the boys. It's just not good that that's getting into our drinking water.
Mm-hmm. Well, the similar stories have come out of the UK where they found traces of Prozac and lithium and things like that in the water. Now, they've theorized that it has been the runoff from sewage systems where people will be, excreting the excesses through the urine and such, and then it winds up back in the urine supply because the molecules of these drugs can't be filtered out. And another story, which I found was even more funny, was in Italy somewhere, I forget, it might have been Sicily, where they had trace amounts of cocaine in the water, which I thought was pretty amusing. Apparently, in an effort to, not get busted and things of this nature, certain drug dealers will flush cocaine down the toilet as they're getting out. So much cocaine was being flushed down the toilet that now there's trace amounts in the whole water supply.
Oh, no. Amazing. If I just touch on the temperature of water that you drink. I know we're having slightly chilled pH 10 at the moment, Vinny, but, it may be 8 degrees in the fridge or thereabouts out of the cooler. Your body's about 37 degrees, and your body has to work a bit harder just to warm that water up. So it's a bit of a fallacy that you should be drinking chilled water, although we're all brainwashed to this effect. You go into a dairy or a convenience store and it's in the fridge. Try drinking it ambient, just for a change. We've got a 20-litre we deliver to homes. It's only $15 for the contents. And I know you drink out of those beautiful grade 7 containers, Vinny, with the tap. And that's the way to drink it. I mean, if it's hot as it is now in Auckland, with summer's day, you can put a jar in the fridge, some of the water in the fridge and cool it down. And that, but as I say, the body has to work harder. So try drinking it ambient, and it's like giving up. Milk or tea in your sugar in your tea. You can do it. I'm probably giving up smoking. It might be a bit harder, but people are trying at the moment. But that's the other thing where the pH 10 will help you. Could be a bit of a trap. It allows me to drink a bottle of red wine and no after effects, because I'll have that same 750 mil of pH 10 after the red wine, and it neutralizes it. It's my theory, and you never have a hangover again. So it's a way of recovering quicker from illness, some illnesses, and just upset tummy, and of course, avoiding hangovers. Marvellous, marvellous water.
Yeah, so especially if you're a student out there. And what I find interesting is that you've got put a little pH graph here on the side of the water bottle. pH 1, battery acid, pH 2, soft drinks, pH 3, vinegar, pH 4 is beer and wine, body 7, this water's 10. So, the interesting thing is you have a look at these high pHs and it's like, wow, man, what is happening really to the human body with the consumption of our current, food supply and all of that? Is it's basically just a whole bunch of acidic poisons that give you cancer.
Well, yes, I can't promise to cure cancer. No one can, so I always start off saying that. But I believe this water is protecting me. It really is, because, here's another one you can Google, apart from Your Body's Many Cries for Water, excellent book, you can Google that one. Another good one you can Google is Dr. Otto Warburg. Okay, in 1931 he won the Nobel Prize in Physiology, and his hypothesis on cancer, I think, was bang on, and he believes it's the fermentation of sugar in the cells, and he found in the laboratory that the cells multiplied and grew really quickly at around the 5.5, which is, most cancer patients probably have a pH of around 5.5, quite acidic body condition. Yet at pH 8.5, those same cells were killed.
And we're back. We had that wonderful little interview yesterday, and Bob was so nice as to give me a whole bunch of little water bottles, which was very quite nice, and very much appreciative to him. In the next segment, we'll conduct the second part of that interview with Bob, who's, basically what I find really interesting is that there's a lot of truthers out there who are older, and they've been in the pseudo-truth movement for some time. And now it's the young people start doing more of a voice. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. The number to call in is 402-237-2525. We'll be right back. United we stand and divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. So sugar itself is acidic for the body?
Yeah, too much sugar in the cells. That's one of the causes, according to Warburg. Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, like, look, the health problems that we have in our country, I mean, they're absolutely phenomenal. We've got huge rates of cancer, huge rates of asthma, huge rates of this, that, and the other, mental problems, heart defects, you know. It's like health itself is under threat in its totality. And in my opinion, diet has probably one of the largest roles to play in this, because we basically live in a toxic diet environment where almost we're given a million choices, but only one or two out of those million choices is good for you.
Unfortunately. Yes. Yeah, no, you're right, Vinny. You've got to get back to basics, and I'm offering people in Auckland anyway, folk here, the chance of drinking the best water available with the pH 10 brand. Apart from that, it's exercise and diet. You know, it's what we eat. The fruit and vegetables are so important. I still like red meat in moderation, the odd barbecue. It can't be bad for you as long as you're drinking that excellent pH 10 water.
And also one thing I was wondering about was the general water supply, right? Okay, so we've got these possible contaminants in them, and we also have deliberate contaminants, like, for example, chlorine used to clean the water. You don't drink your pool water, do you, ladies and gentlemen? But you do, but you do drink the chlorinated tap water, don't you? You dumb asses.
You're getting real, Vinny. It's a bleach, and it's a strong bleach. And, okay, it'll kill some bad bugs, but it's indiscriminate. It'll kill good bugs too. And
is it good for your teeth because the bleach is in my nose?
No, what they're trying to brainwash us and tell us is that fluoride, which is this powder that they've got as a byproduct of aluminium smelting, and what do we do with it? We've got mountains of this stuff. I know, we'll sell it to the councils and the government and tell everyone it's good for teeth. And that's what they've done with fluoride, and it's a crock. You know, it's not good. During the wartime, the Germans and the Russians used it to dumb down the population of their prisoner of war camps, you know, and they found they could halve the number of guards that were needed.
Yeah. Well, actually, they could get rid of three-quarters of the guards.
Three-quarters?
Yeah. It was an incredibly effective one, which is why it's used as a binding agent in psychotropic medications like Prozac and things of that nature. But it's also quite a virulent poison, which is also why it's used as a binding agent in rat poison. So I always use the analogy, if you went down to, say, the Auckland City Reservoir, you know, just down there, and saw this guy in a nice suit just sitting there with these two sacks, one that says Prozac on it and one that says rat poison, and he's dumping them into the water supply. You walk up to him and you tap him on the shoulder and you say, "Mate, what the hell are you doing?" And, and he says, "No, don't worry, it's good for the teeth. Look, I've got these studies that prove it."
Oh dear, it's no laughing matter when you think about it.
Yeah, well, we do try to laugh on the show because it's the lighter side of genocide.
Well, next you're going to say you've got to die of something, but
And that's the thing, we've got these relativist writers that they think, oh well, you know, everything's poisonous, and it's just like, instead of doing something about it, they accept it and then die of the poisons.
I think so. So anyway, there's an alternative for people in Auckland. It's such a heavy product to ship that we're going to go worldwide with it. We've sent the first 20-footer container to Republic of Korea. It's been very well received over there. And we're dealing with possible licensees in the USA and China. I'd like Kiwis to, that's New Zealanders, to drink a lot more of this pH 10, but not averse to exporting too. If you're an entrepreneur and you're in the water business, get in touch.
And also, what kind of supply problems are you having? I mean, you're a small operation here, and you had somewhat of difficulty with, you know, you can't supply like the whole country or anything like that because there's just not enough. I mean, what are your limits here?
It's going to be limited, Vinny. At the moment, we've got consent through the council for 26 million litres per annum. It's the daily flow underneath is 250,000 litres, and they're conservative. They take about 70% of that. They've given us 100,000 litres a day consent at the moment. We're using nothing like that, although we've just installed $250,000 bottling machine that can do 6,000 of these little 750ml bottles an hour, for instance. 500ml, we're going to do 350 and 1.5 litre. We can apply and get a 50% increase to take it to 150,000 litres a day. We have ways of increasing it too by purchasing probably some from our neighbour, 50 million litres per annum, I think will be our limit. Be a nice problem to have if we were bottling that much, but one day we might get to that. But at this stage, it is limited, and I just wish there was more of it. It's just such a good water to drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the thing about specialty items and quality. You'll find out that they'll usually be quite rare and difficult to get a hold of, or that something of that nature, right? Yeah. But if you're selling crapola that's like a level 6 toxin like Coca-Cola, you get all you want.
Well, I was going to say, I did test a I was going to be a bit kinder than you, Vinny. I tested a cola, and it came out at pH 1.6, although I think they claim 2.5 or something, but thereabouts. But it was actually 1.6, which isn't far above that battery acid that's in your car and what have you. Everyone knows it'll rust nails and tip it over a steak in the fridge in a Tupperware and come back a couple of weeks, it's gone. It's no steak. The thing is, when you add anything to water, I mean, that's a drink with the caffeine and sugar and everything that's bad for you. Don't get me on to
the Coke Zero. There's zero nutritional value, zero.
Not only that, didn't it cause brain tumors in the rats when they tested the stuff?
Not according to Donald Rumsfeld.
He owned the company, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a conflict of interest there. What else is new?
But no, you wouldn't catch me drinking that. But when you add anything to water, people say to me, why do you do a sparkling? Well, why the heck would I want to inject carbon? It's a byproduct, isn't it? Carbon bubbles into the water. We're just leaving it the way it is. But when you put lemon flavouring, raspberry flavouring, anything into water, it turns the water acidic, I'm afraid. So the best way to have the water is just the way it is out of the ground, although we do, like most bottlers, filter, ozonate and UV treat. That's the way to go. In Korea, my agent over there said, oh, they've already got a 9.8, pH 9.8. They did some lab tests and they found that you take the lid off the 9.8, which has been artificially increased in pH, and it drops straight away when it hits the air, whereas ours, they couldn't believe it. It just didn't lose its pH. Yeah.
Now, you say you ozonate the water?
That's the usual process that bottlers use, Vinny. It's adding oxygen. This helps the water, of course, especially when you're sending a 20-foot container across the equator. It's a really hot environment in a 20-footer. You don't want the water to turn. You don't want it to turn green. So that's why we UV treat and ozonate, as well as filter down to about 1 micron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, specifically the properties of oxygen in the water, I mean, that just kind of makes sure that bugs can't grow in it, that kind of thing?
Well, that's right. They latch on to the molecule of oxygen, latches onto the bug, and it's dead. Yeah. You need a lot of oxygen to breathe, and you need it in your water. Now, the interesting thing with our water, we had one customer, I think it was a circus, got about 60 of those big containers off us and left in the sun when they were told not to. We replaced the water because it turned green. We had it tested. Now, the green was caused by a member of the spirulina family and it's very good for you, but it doesn't look great, so we just replaced it.
So you had scary green, naturally spirulinaed water. Yeah, 20 of them, 20 of the big cans sitting there. Oh, that's rough.
Well, it doesn't look so good, so we just gave them fresh stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are picky these days. You know, it's perfectly okay to have Prozac and rat poison in your water, but mate, if your water goes all spirulinary, mate, that's just cause for alarm.
I could have told them it was health, good for their health and their teeth.
Yeah. and they would have questioned you, and you say, "Come on, mate, I've got heaps of paid lab test assistants to prove otherwise."
Black as white. Yeah.
Black as white. acidic is alkaline. poison is nutrition. Welcome to the new frickin' world order, you know. Yeah, and in terms of you know, your personal politics, I mean, you're kind of a lot on my side of the fence, you know, with the new world order trying to kill off everybody and this sort of nature. And has this contributed in some way to your sort of carte blanche love of your watermelon?
Oh, that's right. I mean, you've got the best at your doorstep. I mean, myself and my ex-business partner, we searched the world and checked 2,000 water sources out because we want to sell the best water available. And here it was on our back doorstep virtually in northwest Auckland. So we were just so wrapped. It's a lot less distance to truck the water when you find it on your doorstep. But, I love the opportunity of introducing people to it, getting new customers. I bought a couple of container loads of water coolers in, and I give them away. You know, I lend them as long as they're using our water on top. Yeah. And the 20 litre with a tap, as I say, is real good for the ambient use. And then we do the 750 ml sippers, 500 flat tops, and adding to the range from there.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, have you had any opposition or difficulty with your business from, say, I don't know, poison manufacturers saying, "Hey, you can't give people healthy stuff; that's not good for them."
I've had a few naysayers, but you just show them your or email them your latest lab report, and it can't be refuted. You know, three independent labs show that it's got the minerals, show that it's very, very high pH at 9.8 exactly. And in the shop, I've got a pH pen, and dip it in the water and show people straight away. You dip it in the tap water, and, of course, it's acidic, 6.5 where I am. And you've got the litmus paper test too, which is not quite as accurate as the down to 2 decimal points on the pen, but is an indication, especially if you're testing your saliva. But, yeah, and in fact, when I mentioned an ex-business partner, particular gentleman used to work for one of their big other, soft drink companies. And
surprise.
And I just wondered why I wasn't going ahead, you know, at that time, and everything was being given away. And there's been a few stumbling blocks put in the way. That's for sure.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Bob Stevens, the founder of ph10.co.nz, for coming on the show today. And definitely we'll have you on again sometime, mate.
Terrific. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for the opportunity. And to all the listeners, drink more water, please.
Yeah.
Especially pH 10.
Yeah, slurp up that pH 10, just like I do it at home. And what I find interesting about water is that, well, more or less, it's the essential of life, right? And people have now begun to value water so little as if it's taken for granted when, large civilizations have died for lack of water, you know? There's ruins in the central United States. I forget the name of them. But a very advanced little society sprung up there. And quite amazing. They had great irrigation, all of that kind of thing. And the water just kind of ran out after about maybe something like 50 years of no rain. And the society collapsed. It was like the ultimate mecca of the early American civilizations. And today, I find maybe that our future is tied inextricably to theirs because we value water so little. And it's so precious to life itself that perhaps it translates into us not valuing life itself anymore.
Well, that's just it, Vinny. People don't care about anything. They're just, I don't care. That's the ultimate. I got a YouTube comment just a couple of hours ago from someone who's been laying into me. He just says, I don't care. I have a life. You know, as if to say, because you care about any issues, you can't have a life. You know, I just don't have friends. I didn't go out pheasant shooting on Friday night. I didn't go out last night with socializing. I have no life. Life meaning, life's a socialite term for getting drunk and laid, pretty much. It's a nihilistic, depravic lifestyle they call life. And because I have a life, I can't care about anything because I'm too busy recovering from hangovers. pieces of crap. I mean, like, that's seriously, and they don't care about anything. So it's like, well, water, oh, yeah, you know, when I'm thirsty, I can have a can of Coke. The government gives me that freedom to have 50 different types of soft drinks. They're even taking the sugar out of them for me now. They love me so much. They're giving me aspartame.
Oh, they must be deeply concerned. Oh, yes, I'm a yuppie, and the government loves me. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, 402-237-2525. Final segment, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, coming next. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, especially the regular commenters that we have on the Vinny Eastwood Show Facebook site, Joyce, Rangi, Tina, AJ and Ben. Big shout out to you guys. You've certainly been making the making it a heck of a lot of an enjoyable show. Now, Will, there was this email that was sent back to Claire Swinney. She sent the Greens a little bit of information about the old chemtrails. Enlighten us. What was their reply?
Well, Claire Swinney, of course, you know, just a tireless activist in the north of Auckland here, the Northland region of the North Island of New Zealand, has been researching chemtrails and this whole New World Order agenda for many years. She sent this email through to Catherine Delahunty, who is a prominent Green Party MP here in New Zealand of many years. She calls herself a human rights activist, a feminist, roll my eyes, a Buddhist, basically a New Age leftist anyway. She sent her documented evidence talking about chemtrails. You know what I mean? They are a documented real thing. The German government in 2008 admitted they're a practice used by the military to jam radar systems. You know, totally admitted. The Green Party in Germany, and credit to them, have taken this issue seriously. Catherine's reply to the email, however, is, "Hi Claire, the droughts in Northland and the floods in Queensland are a result of global warming-instability, human-induced climate change, and I believe we should put our energy into that. So please don't send me any more links. I've seen enough, and it's not going to be a campaign that I will work on. There is no need to induce droughts. They are happening because of excess fossil fuel emissions. So let's stop that problem. Thanks, Catherine." I mean, for all we say about climate changes, thank you, Catherine, you moron, you educated idiot. Uneducated idiot, sorry. Freak. You've just confirmed everything we say about you guys. The climate change movement has co-opted real environmentalism. It's all you can say. It's all you can think of. It's a drought. It's because of climate change. Human-induced. And she goes on to talk about, it's excess fossil fuel emissions. So let's stop that problem. That's all of this. So Claire tolerates her, sends her another email. And she goes, "Hi, Claire. I've had a couple of emails and one phone call returned from a guy in Nelson. I've looked at some data with my partner who is a green scientist. We are not convinced. When I asked the person who was raising the issue why he thought the USA, whoever, would bother deliberately polluting the sky and population in New Zealand, his replies were not convincing either. Not convincing what, based on her perceptions, her limited information, her bigotry, her leftism, big government rule." I mean, she goes on to say, "I do see pollution from jet engines in the sky." Sounds like a three-year-old. "Plus other forms of pollution being a huge climate issue. I do not think that theory that a deliberate attempt to poison people is a plausible explanation. We are polluting ourselves locally and the planet without needing any external help. Thanks, Catherine." So because things are already polluted, that means something else can't be weighing into an event.
Yeah, that's because pollution's happening. Pollution isn't happening elsewhere, right?
It's like with the 9/11 argument. It's like they already had other reasons to go and invade Iraq. 9/11 couldn't be an inside job because they already had enough reasons. Or oil was the motivation there, so they didn't need to be an inside job. These people who think that the political motivations are based on necessity, they think psychopaths only do what they need to do because they, you know, they need $250,000 Bentleys to drive around. They need, Barack Obama has a car that has glass twice as thick as required to stop a 357 Magnum at 20 meters. You know, this is all out of necessity, obviously. I mean, it's she has no idea how elites, how the real power structure of this world thinks. And then she just approaches global situations from her own leftist, Buddhist, nihilist, relativist piece of crap position and then tries to explain world events through her own tinted glasses that are, you know, basically propagandized agenda of the Rockefeller Institute, such as feminism. Yeah,
is Catherine actually a member of parliament, like voted in or what?
She's a toxic spokesperson for the Green Party. She claims to be concerned about environmental toxicity, about things that affect our environment. They do nothing about the fluoride. They do nothing about MSG in food. They do nothing. I mean, they just don't care.
They don't know anything about aspartame. About the pesticides that are in our waterways through Roundup and things of that nature. We're allowed 1,000 times as much Roundup in our water as is allowed in the EU. And where are the freaking real environmentalists, man? It really ticks me off to absolutely no end that we have the ability to actually do something about real environmental issues. And what these death cult, scumbag pieces of trash really want to do is sit around and talk about how everything is the result of freaking climate change. And anybody who argues with me or anybody who comes up with contrary evidence or something to add to the mix is a conspiracy theorist.
We have one issue, Vinny, and we need to unite under a big leftist government and fight climate change and tax the rich and tax the poor and just die together, okay? And I'm going to align my chakra so I can be a Luciferian agent too when the new age comes. And I mean, these people are evil.
They're so stupid. I mean, they don't realize that after these carbon taxes come in, we'll all be living in a big line of chakras. All right? Come on. the moronity. And it just goes to show you that the people who get into parliament are just as freaking brainwashed and moronic as the general people that they
They're just good speakers, Vinny. That's how she got in there, in public speaking, because, she talks so soft, and I love her loving liberalness of ignorance and death.
Yes. Join the death cult, ladies and gentlemen. It's absolutely fabulous, and it comes with your own Dixie cup-like coffin. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, where we abuse the living Shiite Muslim out of climate cultists every day. And thank goodness for us, because there ain't anybody else in New Zealand apparently doing it quite as much. We'll be right back tomorrow.